Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them by two and two before his face into every place where he himself was going to come. As going out in twos is a good thing, so you can encourage each other if one gets down. And that's in a sense what we're doing. We're preparing people for Jesus who is to come when he comes back. Therefore he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest." So it means that there are people who could come to Jesus who will not, because there aren't enough workers. And therefore we also need to be giving our whole lives to bringing in that harvest. Because it sort of implies that the more we do, the more we work in that harvest, the greater the harvest will be. It's not all sort of arranged by God in advance and nothing can change it. "Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry no purse nor shoes and greet nobody by the way." That doesn't mean to be rude, but in those days, to greet somebody who you met on the road could take even an hour. You had to ask, "Now, how's your mother and how's your mother's mother and how is your children and how are your neighbours?" And the whole procedure could take ages. So Jesus is saying, look, the most important thing is to get the gospel out there to as many people as possible. The idea is there's not a moment to lose, not even an hour to waste on these really lengthy greetings when you met someone on the road. "Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a peaceable person is there, your peace will rest upon it, and if not, it will turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking whatever they offer you, for the worker is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat whatever things they put before you. Don't be fussy about your food, and be quite willing to fellowship with them, because to eat at someone's table was to accept them." And so he's saying, look, don't get all fussy in whatever sense about these people. You are there to give them a message, and that is what is most important. "Heal the sick that are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But into whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go out into their streets and say, 'Even the very dust of your city, which is on us, we wipe off against you. But be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.'" So people in the first century who heard the good news of Jesus are going to be resurrected when Jesus comes back, and there will be judgment, and they will be punished. Punished worse than the people of Sodom. "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty miracles that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they would have repented a long time ago and sat in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted up to the skies, will be thrown down to hell or to the grave. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me." That's God. So when we preach the gospel, we are the representatives of Jesus. And how people treat us is how they're treating God and Jesus. But that, of course, means that we've got to be very careful with how we behave. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name." He said to them, "I beheld Satan, the great adversary, as lightning fall from heaven." Now, Satan is not a real person or an angel or a dragon. It is the enemy, the adversary, in whatever context it might be. And he's saying that, yep, I felt that. I saw you having great victory. "Behold, I give you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. But don't rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So then we should be happy that we are going to be in the kingdom, that our names are written in the book of life. That is what is most wonderful, not that we can do wonderful works. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and clever, and you revealed them unto babies, because, Father, so it seemed good in your eyes. And that's how it is that the wise of this world, as Paul says, are not the ones who can understand the gospel of the kingdom. The true wisdom and the true being smart is not to get educated and to have a smart career. The true wisdom and true knowledge and being smart is to simply believe with all our heart that we will be saved and be in God's kingdom. Jesus goes on, all things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He turned and looked at the disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see these things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. So in the Old Testament, Jesus didn't exist. And yet the prophets looked forward to the time of Jesus, and there were great kings like David who looked forward to the time of Jesus and would have loved to have actually seen him and heard his teaching. And so Jesus is saying, you poor people who are following me now, you're so blessed. And we might forget that blessing very easily, that we have the point in history where we can look back and see all the things that have come true in Jesus. We can see all those things. And we have got the Bible, which explains to us all that's happened.